Welcome to Gal Pals Watch.
I'm Sarah.
And I'm Alicia.
And this is a podcast where we talk about queer, quote-unquote, lady movies inclusively defined.
Yes.
Yes.
Quote-unquote.
Quote-unquote. The word lady is a little fraught.
Yeah.
But you get it.
Laddie.
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 I'm listening to... Just to go right into the books.
Right,
this is a books podcast now. I'm listening to a book right now called What's Your Pronoun by a guy named Dennis Barron. And it says his pronouns on the cover. He, him, his. But it's really interesting. Like, I hadn't really thought about pronouns and their role in language, like, all that deeply in history. And there's a lot of that and a lot of, like, there's just a lot of pronouns in existence. And the, like, adoption of the singular they as a really widespread non-binary pronoun is pretty recent. But it's just funny to hear, like, how gender is tied up with pronouns. And also how so many grammar people really want to die on that hill of, like, they is a... plural pronoun.
Oh my god, like,
it's like, there are other things. Get over yourself.
Yeah. What about, like, world hunger or something like that?
Pick a different thing.
I think it's so interesting how many we'll talk about the movie in a minute.
Yeah,
but
we will get there.
I think it's interesting how so many languages are either totally gendered or like don't have pronouns at all. Like, I work with a lot of Chinese families, and they constantly, you know, refer to their daughter as he or their son as she. And, you know, I never correct them because they don't have pronouns, you know? It's always like, I'm not really sure 100%, but it's always like a they type of pronoun. So,
yeah. So anyway, all that is to say that the word lady is used with a big grain of salt.
Yeah.
And then we can get on to the movie. Or now we can. So today we're talking about a movie called The Girl King, which is a 2015 film by a Finnish director. How do you pronounce her name? Mika Kaurismäki?
Sure. I feel like you would know more than I would.
I guess. I mean...
You go to Finn... Where do you go?
I go to Denmark.
Jesus Christ, I always forget.
That's where my family's from, but, like, Denmark and Finland, like, the language... The languages in Denmark, Norway, and Sweden are very similar.
Yes.
And they're more similar to German. Finland is, like, a whole other thing.
Oh.
There's, like, Finland is an alien language to me, Finnish. I mean, I don't understand any of it, so.
I also found interesting that this movie is in English.
Yes, I found that really interesting, too.
Like, what?
It's also in French, randomly.
Yeah,
and there's one line in Swedish.
Yeah.
At the very beginning.
And some German.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly it's just English, which was super surprising. I was expecting to just have subtitles the whole time.
Same. I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, yeah, I get to, like, listen to some Swedish. And then I was like, wait, this is English.
Yeah. I was kind of like, oh.
But I think the person who plays Queen Christina is Swedish.
I believe they're all Swedish.
Are they all Swedish? They might all be. I don't know. But... just for her in particular, well, she talked a lot, but, like, it sounded like a Swedish accent to me.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, Girl King is basically about Christina, Queen of Sweden.
In, like, 1630-something?
Yeah, the 1600s.
Yeah.
Like,
so,
mid to late.
Yeah.
Yeah. The movie really just stems on, like, the mid times from basically from when she was 6 years old to when she's about 30.
Yeah.
That's the span of it. Though that was very confusing in the film.
I know. She looks so young. So, like, when 10, 15 years is supposed to have passed, I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, when she's 18 versus 29, I'm like, I didn't know.
Yeah. Like, I thought you were still 15.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because she was brought up, you know, as a prince, essentially. Her father says that he wanted her to raise her like a prince.
Well, her father dies when she's pretty young.
Yeah, when she's about six.
Right. And then is it her uncle who, like, essentially adopts her?
Yeah, when he, the guy who's like, can I call you my dog?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought, because there's like a lot of, I mean, all those monarchies are like really inbred, so all the people are related, but I wasn't sure like the who exactly he was, but it was her uncle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie, I mean, I learned a lot from this movie. And of course, because I'm not like an expert on it already, it's like there might be some things that are untrue or slightly fictionalized or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I don't usually read up on the 1600s all that often.
Like
so this was
old European monarchies.
Right?
Yeah, I don't either.
So this was pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it was pretty gay.
Yeah, it was pretty gay. One thing that kind of bothered me about this movie in general was how, like, and I think it's just in culture too, how Queen Christina is referred to as the Virgin Queen.
Yes.
That really put a bee in my bonnet, to use an old-fashioned phrase.
Bee in your bonnet, yes.
I was like, fuck that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Fuck this concept of virginity. Virginity is a construct.
This movie is extremely, it really revolves around religion.
Oh, yeah, so much. Because there's a war between the Protestants and the Catholics.
Yeah, as usual.
As usual.
And
the white Christians, they really like to go to war.
Should I get divorced or not? God, now we have to have a war about it. Fuck. So basically, I guess at the time, Sweden was Lutheran or Protestant.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They're both the same.
Yeah, they're the yeah.
Similar.
Pretty sure. We're obviously experts in religion.
Well, obviously, Lutheranism follows the teachings of Martin Luther.
Right.
And Martin Luther was a Protestant.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
They're similar families.
They're about the same.
Different factions.
For the purposes of this podcast, they're the same.
For the purposes of this expertly worded podcast.
Yeah. We're so good with words.
So good. But yeah, I thought, basically, she becomes a queen, like, as a kid, right?
Yeah. Well, her...
Sort of.
So, her father dies on the battlefield, right?
Yeah, and then her mom keeps his body for 2 years.
Yeah, which honestly shocked me, because there's a scene where the mother is, like, with the dead body of the father.
Yeah.
And she's like, Christina, come kiss your father goodnight. And it's implied that, like, this happens every night.
Every night, yeah.
And the body does not look dead.
No.
It looks like a sleeping
fresh
body, and this is supposed to be a two-year-old dead body? I don't understand.
Yeah.
In the 1600s, like, I'm
there's
sorry,
no
that
way
thing would have been decomposed.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way.
Yeah, that
she
was
had
a
his heart on, like, a little, like,
oh, yeah,
glass case.
She did, it looking like the fucking, like, Maleficent or some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, you know, and that's, like, right within the first, like, 3 minutes of the movie.
Was she supposed to be six in that?
From what I read.
Okay, because she looked a lot older.
Well, she was probably eight at the time. I think her dad died when she was six.
Oh, so I'm confused. If her dad died, like, and she was the next person in line, who was on the throne in those two intervening years? Did you get that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So basically, like, the movie opens up with, I don't know who it is, but, like, kind of, like, government police equivalent come in and they're like, we gotta get rid of this fucking body. Like, this is insane.
And they're,
this
like,
gross,
trying to commit the mother or something. Well,
yeah.
I don't know if that's really a thing, but.
Well, I read that the mom got, I don't know, she was in the throne after the father died, but she abdicated it to her daughter.
That makes sense.
But we don't really get that in the film.
No, that's not explained, because it just seems like the men of the court or whatever, parliament or something, the advisors, just somebody, they're coming to, like, take Christina away.
Yeah.
And also take the mother away somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So I don't know. I don't know what that's about. But then she, like, becomes... So she becomes queen, and she also has to, like, have her annual health check in front of everybody.
Like, all the...
Like, all the men. Yeah. All the old men. She has to, like, stand up there while the doctor like measures her and examines her without her clothes on and everything. I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, they like measure her to make sure that she's growing appropriately.
And then the doctor declares like, Her Majesty is in good health.
And they're all like, yes, yes, yes. And
yeah.
They all write it in their little notebooks.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, essentially it goes from like that scene of the dead dad to when she's like 15, mm-hmm. and then again when she's 18 and she can take the, she's fully like queen.
Oh,
she
yeah.
can be.
That's right, when she gets that big crown.
Yeah. She
the
can,
big crown.
The big one and the staff.
Yeah.
Sparkly staff.
Yeah.
The big robe.
Mm-hmm.
Very extra.
Yeah.
I
mean, monarchies are extra.
Oh, what is it called though? When you get, I want to say inaugurated, but that's like the American equivalent.
Crowned?
Basically,
yeah.
She was crown queen. I forget what the whole thing is. And she's very much into the arts and
mm-hmm.
history. And
philosophy.
And she
really loves Descartes.
Descartes, for sure. And she wants Stockholm to be the Athens of Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still, the country is still in this war.
Mm-hmm.
So she has lots of advisors around her,
mm-hmm.
Religious advisors,
yeah.
I should say, that, you know, have their own interests in mind. And they're trying to influence
her. That's always
her.
The case.
And they're trying to influence her the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And mostly they're trying to influence her to, like, give up the art, give up books. You know, that's not going to feed the country.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, she has a whole thing where, like, she wants there to be public access to knowledge and stuff. But, yeah, there's a lot of argument about how people are starving and
mm-hmm.
books don't feed them and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is true. Yeah, Christina, she's kind of complicated in that way where she has all these ideals and she also has these ideals she wants to kind of like impose or infuse on her countrymen.
Mm-hmm.
But she also is super classist and like
she doesn't really know what it's like for the lower classes.
Mm-mm.
She's like,
she has no fucking clue.
She's like, we need to feed their minds.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like,
and she's bringing in books that are like written in Greek and written in German and French, and like even a lot of the noblemen can't read that stuff, and like let alone read in their own language, and just like,
yeah, she wants to eradicate illiteracy.
Right.
But
which is cool.
Which
but
is awesome.
Like,
but
also
very noble.
You need to like address other issues too, like poverty and access and like
I thought the
food.
Yeah,
and
I thought
like that.
The scene was hilarious when she goes into like a little village and they notice it's her and she's like, oh crap, all right.
Yeah.
So she has to like make this speech, but one of her advisors is like, just tell them there's free beer. Just tell them there's free beer. Just tell them there's free beer. And she's, like, trying to, like, instill whatever. And then the guy is, he just yells free beer.
Yeah.
Queen Christine. And they're like, yes! And she's like, oh, my God. I'm, like, in a frat party, basically.
Yeah. That was a funny scene. Because it was just, like, you know, a celebrity. Like, now, if you see a celebrity on the street and, like, someone notices, everyone kind of swarms them. But I think a lot of times, like, people don't really care, like if they're trying to have a big speech or something, they're just like, no, we want,
yeah, what do I get,
yeah,
like what are you gonna give me, you're so
a selfie or something,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like
exactly,
yeah.
What am I gonna get?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's get to the gay shit.
Okay.
That good gay shit,
which also was very problematic.
Yes, tell me more.
Well, Christina gets really fixated on this woman whose name I forget.
Is it her?
It's like her cousin's fiance or.
Oh yeah, Erica. I believe
is
her
it
name.
Erica? Okay.
No. Erica's her lady in waiting. Just kidding.
She
Ebba.
Makes,
Ebba or Belle. She calls her Belle.
Oh, okay. That's
but
so funny because I didn't pick up on that the entire time I was watching the movie. I didn't know what her name was.
Yeah, I had to look it up online.
Yeah,
Countess Ebba Spar.
Okay. Yes, and she makes her. Her other lady-in-waiting.
Yes, so she has two ladies-in-waiting.
Yeah.
I forget what the actress who plays her, but her name in the movie is Erica. That's her regular
mm-hmm.
lady-in-waiting.
Mm-hmm. And she basically controls and manipulates her and declares that she has to be her quote-unquote bed companion.
Which to warm also, her bed.
To warm her bed and then to stay there when she gets in it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she says
and apparently her dad, the king, also had a...
Same-sex.
A same-sex, like...
Companion.
Yeah, bed warmer companion dude. But, like, that's not with consent. She just is like, you're going to do this because I'm the queen and I say so.
Yeah. One of the things I remember her saying is, I didn't give her permission to leave.
Yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Like, this is more than just, you know, a gal pal situation.
Yeah. It doesn't seem super mutual. I mean, I don't know. Like, it's implied that she was into it, but, like,
Also, you know, made very clear that she is not of the same level. She's not at the same level at all. And she is to, you know, answer the queen's beck and call, so to speak.
Yeah. She's controlled by her.
Yeah. And I believe it's like her first cousin, I believe, sends her all these dresses when she's away at war. Because he really likes her, like, wants to marry her, likes her.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't remember this later in the movie, which I thought was funny. But she basically gives them all to Eba.
Mm-hmm.
Or Eba. And they have this, like, weird dress-up thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, like, voyeuristic.
Totally voyeuristic.
But I thought parts of it were, like, cringy. And then other parts of it were really funny because... Christina is so awkward.
Yeah.
And one of the things I wrote down was, she says, I'm trying to change my facial expression by thinking of something different.
Yeah.
When she's watching Eba change into the dress.
Mm-hmm. Which she also forces her to do it right in front of her instead of somewhere else. Yeah.
And then she asks all these questions like, oh, what is your fiance? Or
how does he look at you? And
how does he look at you?
Yeah.
How does he touch you?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff. And
yeah.
Eba kind of plays along with like, oh, he holds his chest just like you're holding your chest right now.
Yeah.
And I wonder why she does that.
Yeah, I wonder too, because it seems like she's uncomfortable at first, but then she,
Yeah, it seems for sure that she's uncomfortable doing it. But I wonder if it was just, like, the pressure and she knows that, like, she has to, you know, be, I don't know.
Yeah, she has to play this
obedient
role.
Obedient.
Yeah.
That she has to
just
be obedient.
To make Christina happy.
Yeah. But also there's a part that, at least from what I gathered from the film, my interpretation of it is that she does... like her, like she's interested definitely in like having sex with her and getting up all on that.
Yeah. But I think she also starts to fall for Christina because then there's a part later, is it after Descartes dies? Where she, it's after she sees her mom, Christina.
And
like when her mother comes back and her mother is like, you need to get married right now and like stop having your head in the clouds about books and shit like that, and
books and shit
and she's really upset. It's also because she learns that her mother is the one who pushed her down the stairs when she was little.
Yes.
Which she didn't know until
basically
then.
Christina has a big like scar on her back, and it was always rumored that like a nanny was not paying attention, but it was
but
actually
the
mom tried to kill her.
So that's a fun thing to find out and to have happen. So she's really upset and Eba comes to like try and comfort her and Christina just like lashes the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, also I forbid you to cry. Because Eba starts crying.
Yeah, and she's like, it's not your suffering, it's
mine. Yeah, she's like, it's my pain. And I was like, damn.
Yikes.
Someone's a little self-absorbed. But she does strike up this, like, intense friendship with Descartes.
Yes.
Which I found very interesting.
That was probably, like, my favorite part of the movie.
I know. All the, like, unexpectedly.
Philosophy and religion stuff. I was kind of like, I want to know what's going to go on.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to be the end result of this shit? It was...
The end result is death.
Always death.
Always death.
But, yeah, I guess Descartes Descartes. I didn't study him much.
Me either.
But he's a Catholic.
Yep.
As I found out from this film. Mm-hmm. And she, like, loves his teachings on philosophy, mm-hmm. which obviously pisses off every single person in the country because they're all Protestant.
Right.
And they're like, this Catholic swine scum.
And
she's like, bro, just listen to what he has to say.
Yeah. And there's, like, a guy who's kind of a mole for, like, the Vatican or whatever, who's also, like, really nice to her and trying to, like, get her to convert to Catholicism, basically. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, it, like, makes me laugh, but it also makes me just so upset, and, like, it makes me cringe so hard.
Well, yeah, I wrote, in the ultimate power move, the Pope wants to buy a gay. Because
I love that.
Because they're fighting, mm-hmm. the Protestants and the Catholics are fighting, and it would be a huge victory mm-hmm. for a queen of a country mm-hmm. to basically defect from her country mm-hmm. so she can become a Catholic. Mm-hmm. And that's all the Pope wants, is like, oh my God, this will be like,
yeah,
it'll be like checkmate right now. Ugh. So
it drives me crazy that, like,
and they call her the Virgin Queen.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And this is all because, and it's like, it starts to become widely known that she is a lesbian. Mm-hmm. They start singing, like, parody songs in pubs mm-hmm. about her. You know, if you don't know how to flirt with a girl, ask Queen Christina, which I found really funny.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, basically it's like her publicist is like, publicist is like, all right, we got to get around this by, you need to move to the Vatican. Like, this is the only way it's going to work. And then you'll become their Virgin Queen. And then you don't have to get married. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get that D. Mm-hmm. And you can have that V all you want. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
And she's like, amen, as she rides off on a horse.
Yeah.
But first she adopts her first cousin. The one who wanted to marry her, which
funny.
Was really funny. He was like, yeah, so that he could be king, basically.
Yeah.
So that... could leave.
Yeah, they go in a sauna, and
oh my God, like, that scene was hilarious, where he, like, he did the Nordic thing where he went, like, ice bathing, and then he came into the sauna, and she's in there in, like, her fur regalia.
Yeah, she's like, I'm cold.
Yeah, just, like, sitting there with her legs crossed, just, like, really looking regal, and he has a towel around his, or whatever, around his waist, and
she's basically like, if you really love me, you'll do this. And he does, because mm-hmm. he truly loves her and wants to do anything for her.
Yeah. I kind of liked the line in that sauna where he was, like, saying about how she was going to get too hot or something, and she was like, well, around you I prefer to wear my armor or something like that.
I mean, I think his name's Johan.
Johan.
He was a bit of a creep in the beginning, mm-hmm. for sure. He's super problematic.
He has, like, his sympathetic moments.
Yeah. But other parts, like, he does force Christina to kiss him, mm-hmm. and he breaks apart Christina and Ebba having sex.
That's right.
And gets, like, real pissed and, like, friend-zoned about it.
Mm-hmm.
but I guess in the end, like, he's like, oh, being king wouldn't be so bad. All right,
yeah.
You can go to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Erica, the other lady-in-waiting, is also, like, real torn up about, because she finds out about Christina and Ebba and just gets really upset. I think she's, like, tormented because of religion.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me wonder, like, I don't know, like, how... Because I always got the impression... from my very limited knowledge of rich white ladies through history, that, like, no one really cared if they were hooking up with other women.
Yeah, that seems to be the general
theme. Yeah, so I was like, why are you getting this bent out of shape over it, Erica? Like,
well,
why do you care?
Part of it is that I thought that she was protective of the queen. And she's also, she wants to make sure that she can work for the queen, because she gets pregnant out of wedlock. And that's like right. has I a forgot. Lot of you know, just like general religious
hang-ups
yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I think she's like, oh, you know, my mistress has always been good to me, and I want to make sure that I can still continue working for her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's just kind of a ride or die kind of person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think she knows the troubles that may come for her.
Yeah.
When the country finds out.
Yeah.
It's like her kind of inner circle is like, okay, whatever, she's
yeah.
gay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she likes
there
ladies.
Are some, I think it's the, I forget who, but there are some men who are like, oh, it might be the guy, her uncle, who was like, oh, I'm your father now or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Where he was trying to say that the friendship between women is a lot more intimate between the friend or than the friendship between men.
Yeah.
He actually said that, I think.
Yeah, like, he says that.
Yeah. And he was like just writing it off, like it, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So basically, she converts.
Yeah. To that last scene is like pretty epic, where she just rides off into the
yeah.
hills on her horse.
Yeah.
Didn't look like she was carrying anything. It's a long way to Rome from Sweden. But.
Yeah, Ebba basically gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
And gets a stern talking to from her fiance.
I was worried at first that they
Me
were
going
to kill her.
So was I.
Yeah.
And
for a minute, I thought that they had. Because, mm-hmm. like, Johan was so distraught after
yeah.
that conversation where, like, they closed the door. Like, that was the end of the scene. They
mm-hmm.
brought her in there and closed the door. And I was like, oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
And then he was like, he burned his clothes because he felt like his clothes were burning or whatever. I was like, okay, that's some kind of shit that like a person would do if they had murdered someone. Like
sounds like some Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's so guilty. That
yeah.
Just, like,
but then she showed up again, and I was like, oh, thank God,
she's still alive. Yeah. So basically, they were like, listen, chick, you can't be gay. You gotta marry me. Plus, I'm kind of a babe, and I kind of look like a girl.
He did look like a girl a little bit. He looked like Hanson, the Hanson brothers.
He looked like a Hanson brother
yeah.
for sure. Mop. And
I mean, they look Swedish, so
yeah.
it made sense.
And yeah, she gets married,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was hilarious that she wears black to the wedding, which reminded me of Ann Lister.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I was like, Ann Lister would totally be the type to read about this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if she like maybe got some inspiration
Ooh.
From her.
Oh my gosh.
That's my headcanon.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It
happened. You heard it here first.
It happened.
It happened.
I am a historian, and it happened.
We're allowed to rewrite
you.
History.
because she wears black from there on out. She doesn't wear any other color.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. I am connecting the dots
yeah.
of history.
You're doing the gay connecting
into
of dots.
Into a dinosaur. What? I don't know. but yeah, she rides. She cuts her own hair, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Nice and short, above the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Like dyke of that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she rides off into the hills of Sweden
mm-hmm.
with her trusty horse.
Yep.
And basically it says that she was always a virgin.
Yeah.
It
said she died a virgin. I was like, fuck you,
fuck
movie.
Off. Fuck off. We just saw her have sex,
yeah.
asshole. I wish they put that in like quotes.
Yeah.
Because that would have been more
then
know,
it would have
like,
been like referring to the cultural like narrative about her that,
yeah
but like also nodding to the fact that virginity is like
yeah.
not real
because clearly she had sex
yeah
she had sex with women
mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean she's not a virgin
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
I also hate the word
virgin.
I hate it so much.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's all that religious stuff. It's like, there's so many rules around it.
Mm-hmm.
Drives me crazy.
But it's like, for the Catholics, it was a huge win.
Yeah.
And she's one of, I think, only three or like a handful of women that are buried with the popes.
That's right. That I found really interesting.
Me too.
At the end, I was like, she is?
I was like, holy shit. The Catholic Church bought a lesbian. And, like...
And buried her next to the Pope.
And buried her next to the Pope. And she's probably, like, a fucking saint. Or, like, is getting sainthood. I don't know. Probably not. Because it doesn't say saint when I look at her
name. We need
a
gay saint.
I'm here for it.
Just kidding. I don't give a shit about saints.
I know. I don't even follow Catholicism anymore. But I want a gay saint!
We have our own gay saints.
Yeah.
We don't need Catholic gay saints.
Yeah, I put at the end, she died at age 63, still a virgin.
Yeah, I love like, how in your notes there's still, always question marks.
I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you. yeah, in general, I was like, oh, I'm like thoroughly surprised that I liked this movie.
I know, me too. I was really, I put it off. I was like, I don't want to watch this. It's going to be so boring. And parts of it were kind of boring. But
yeah, for
like,
sure.
For the most part, I was like, oh. This was watchable.
Yeah. I thought it
Some of it was really melodramatic. Yes. But, I mean, that's also par for the course when you're talking about monarchies and, like, in the 1600s in Europe.
Yeah.
Everyone was a drama queen.
Usually, like, I can't put on a movie and go, like, do other things. But mm-hmm. I was able to, like, put this on and, like, do laundry. Mm-hmm. And I was still able to follow along, which is, like, fantastic.
Yes.
I got shit to do, man.
I know, isn't that crazy when you're like, you gotta watch a movie and you're like, what else can I do while I'm watching this because I don't have 2 hours?
Right?
What is our lives?
Life
what are
is
our
hard.
Lives? Yeah.
So things like that made me really like this movie. It was nice for my schedule.
Yeah.
But also, you know, I don't know much about history and I wish I knew more about history. It's something that
history's pretty vast.
Yeah, it's, you know.
And you kind of got to pick and choose, right? It's like, you can't know all of history.
But I'm here for gay history, for
Me too.
Sure. So I want to know all about those gay, old gays.
That good gay stuff.
That good gay shit.
I have another book recommendation.
Hit it.
It's a book called My Autobiography of Carson McCullers by Jen Shapland, and it comes out on February 4th. And Carson McCullers, do you know who she was?
No, sounds familiar.
She was a really, like, author who did really well in, like, the 40s. She was friends with, like, Tennessee Williams, and she wrote Heart as a Lonely Hunter and Member of the Wedding and a bunch of other things. But she was queer as hell, and, like, no one ever talks about that in her biographies and stuff. There's this one biography of her that's, like, so many hundreds of pages long, like 600 or 700 or something, and they just, like, don't even, they just brush it across, brush it out, or, I can't talk. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Brush it aside is what I was looking for.
There you go. I couldn't even think of it either. I was like, brush over it.
Yeah.
Brush under it.
You know, you get it. But Jen Shapland was working as an archivist in this place called the Harry Ransom Center at the University of Texas in Austin. And she got this inquiry for, she was just an intern. She wasn't even like hired. And this person wanted letters between Carson McCullers and this like Swiss photographer named Anne Marie Schwarzenbach or something. And then Jen Shapland was like, she read these letters and she was like, this is gay shit. And then, because she's also gay.
We can see the gay
shit. We can see the gay. And so she wrote this whole
glasses.
Book about Carson McCullers and herself and, like, the way that she, like, what archives are and, like, how people read between the lines and, like, what it means to be queer and, like, have an archive because so many queer people don't have archival material and just, like...
It's been destroyed or...
Yeah, or, yeah. like... It was just never made because, like, you have to have a certain amount of privilege in order to, like, even have material things to, like, leave behind as archives
absolutely.
Or, like, especially written things. It just was so interesting and so good. And, like, it's really readable. It's not, like, too nerdy. Even though if you are nerdy about it, you can really nerd out with it. But, like, I don't know. I just thought it was so good.
So kind of, like, the auto part is, like, her experience as an archivist.
Yeah, and then she, like, basically went down a real deep rabbit hole into Carson McCullers' life. She went and stayed at the Yaddo artist residency where Carson McCullers was, like, she went there a lot. And that's a really prestigious thing that is hard to get into. And Jen Shapland got in off the waiting list because she really wanted to go to this place where Carson McCullers had spent all this time. And she also spent a bunch of time in her childhood home in, like, somewhere in the South that I forget what state, but they like let her stay in the house, which is a museum now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she like took baths in the same bathtub and everything. She like found all these, all these clothes and like photos. It was so cool to read. So wow. I highly recommend that book, My Autobiography of Carson McCullers by Jen Shapland.
Very cool.
Yeah. But that just reminded me because of like when you're queer and you have to read between the lines of shit to like find a story that it, that like you can see yourself in.
Yeah. And hasn't been told
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is a part of.
Because all that stuff gets erased.
Her history. So yeah. That's yeah. been sidestepped and mm-hmm. or not discovered at all. But mm-hmm. I'm sure it had been discovered by yeah. someone else. But they were like, we can't worry
about
that.
Also, there were transcripts of her therapy sessions.
Holy shit.
She also had an affair with her therapist who was a woman.
Yikes.
So, but it sounded like kind of a nice thing. I don't know.
Did they stop therapizing her after that?
I can't remember. I don't know. It just, it was kind of endearing, but I also was like, holy shit, there's like therapist transcripts in an archive of yeah. like this writer who was trying to figure out how gay she was.
So this rabbit hole became like a gold mine.
Totally, a total like, gold mine. Yeah.
Wow. It's like uncovered all this, all these yeah. treasures.
Yeah.
Treasures.
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 Queer treasures.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I like this movie.
This movie was really cool. If you're into history, mm-hmm. definitely check it
European history, specifically.
Yeah, yeah specifically. if you're into kind of gay people in history, mm-hmm. specifically, watch this. I want to do more research on her. I did a little bit. It was interesting. And I'm interested in religions and things like that. So, you know, stupid white people arguing over basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Is,
it's the story of our lives.
Cray cray.
Yeah.
But still interesting. So check it out. Mm-hmm. I would say check it out.
Yeah.
Why not?
I would too. I was pleasantly surprised by it.
Same.
I thought I was going to hate it and I didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Me too. Like I thought it would be like well done, but I was going to be like bored by it the whole
right,
time.
Yeah.
And I wasn't, which is good. So if you have any similar recommendations of, you know, old
gay
historical
shit.
Gay shit. I want to hear about it.
Yep.
You can email us at galpalswatch@gmail.com.
You can find us on Twitter at galpalswatch.
And Instagram at galpalswatch.
Sometimes we go on those things.
Once in a while. We do the thing. And we appreciate you listening to the thing.
Yes. Thank you for listening, friends.
And keep it hella gay! There we go. I've been sick, so I was like, maybe I shouldn't do it, because then I'll cough and die. But I won't. Gay! Extra gay.